don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning, troubles they don't last always. For there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. And you don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. And joy comes in the morning, and troubles they don't last always. For there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, come on, lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. And with Jesus, I can take it.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
With him, I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. I'm sorry. So when your test and trials, they seem to get you down, and all your friends and loved ones are nowhere to be found, remember there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, come on, lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. And with Jesus, I can take it. With him, I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. Oh, no matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
Let's all stand this evening. Amen. We'll change over the service. I don't know how the world survives without the Lord Jesus Christ in her life. He's my strength, my refuge, everything I need. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy, holy, holy.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be able to move your hands. Amen. And your feet. By way of announcements, let's get this over real quick, and then we'll get started here real little early tonight, 7:15. We're good. Should be done by 10. October. This coming Saturday, we'll have prayer service here. Church will be open at 5 till 6 o'clock. We'll come up here and pray, meditate, read your Bible, whatever you want to do. And then from 6 to 8 downstairs, we'll have the questions and answers, Bible study. Like I said, I have about 3 questions, but bring them with you, and we'll cover them. Also, Brother David Gadman will be here, and him and his wife will be here sometime Saturday, and they'll be with us at the Bible study. So keep that in prayer. Then the next Wednesday, I think it's the 11th, Brother Bob will be speaking. If all goes well with that, I'll be out of town. I'll be hunting for that next week. So just keep that in prayer. October the 15th, Brother George Quinn will be with us, and he'll be speaking for us. That's Sunday. October 29th, Brother Vernon. And the Fall Festival will be that same day. We're all, everybody's invited to go, and we'll head down and eat hamburgers and hot dogs or whatever we decide to have. And then we'll have games and prizes and stuff like that for the kids, and then fellowship for the rest of us. So just keep that in your heart. Also, November the 12th will be our Thanksgiving dinner here at the church. December the 10th will be our Christmas dinner at the venue down at Gillsville, the Hidden Acres. Just like we always do. We'll have one service, and then we'll go down there. And then on that November the 12th, we'll have one service, and then we'll eat. And you won't have to fight sleep for a second service. So, may the Lord be gracious for us. So, I talked to Susan the other day. She's doing okay. She's doing all right. So, let's just keep her in prayer. Keep Sister Freedom in prayer, and also the Thomas family, all the different ones that are sick. Mom and Dad there, just please remember them. And prayerful people is what we should be. We should be praying all the time. Pray without ceasing. And the Lord knows the devil's going to give you enough to pray for all the time. So, yeah, that's his job. Our job to pray him down. So let's just pray him out of this place. So you get a little weary. I know Brother Boyd, bless his heart. Sometimes he looks really tired. I think I know how he feels. But we just all got to do what we got to do, and then we just put it in the hands of the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue tonight maybe go up a little step a little bit higher, but we'll get to it in just a second. We'll get to something I want you to really see, something I believe the Lord, I was skipping through all this, and it just, something told me to go back. So I went back to the book of John, because if we're required to have these virtues, right? They're a requirement, right? They're a requirement to come to adoption, all right? And if Jesus came to adoption on River Jordan at Mount Transfiguration by type, then there's got to be somewhere that he, Jesus, opened the door that can happen to us, right? And he did. We'll read it tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for this evening that you've given us. Thank you for the song service, Lord, and the musicians and all the ones that came, Lord, on a Wednesday night. Father, I pray that you'd just strengthen all of our bodies, Lord, and keep us healthy, Lord, for the journey ahead. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, that you'd raise them up, Lord, for your honor and glory, Father. May there be a testimony in all this that we're not seeing now, but, Lord, may we see it a little bit later, Father. Just bless us now. Touch the ones, Lord, that are traveling, ones that are not with us. I pray that you'd be with them, be with the missionaries on the foreign fields, be with Brother David and Sister Laura. They come in, Lord, this weekend, and Brother George next weekend, Lord. I pray that you'd touch them, Lord, be with Brother Vernon. Also, have a safe trip over here, Father. Just be with each one. Give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, you take this man that we've been talking about, that Word was the what? That was the theophany. That was the logos, the speech, the Word. It's all Jesus Christ. It's all God. It's all the Father. It's only one person, all right? Everybody with me? So that Word is going to be, was made flesh back then, and now that same Word in all those attributes, except for we're not healer or savior or redeemer, but how close are we, though, where the Bible says that eternal life will be given to someone for being good to you? Isn't that you imparting eternal life? Okay, let's see what we got here in the book of John. So, full of grace and truth. Let me read one more and then you can sit down. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. And you be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Again, thank you for coming. And we appreciate all of you. Love you with the love of the Lord. And we thank you for all the things that you've done for the funeral last week. And we sure did appreciate all of you coming and working and taking a little bit of load off of us. We sure appreciate that. John 16, verse 12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you. Now, look, this is John 16, all right? We're fixing to go to John 17. This is John 16. Jesus is getting ready to leave, all right? He is the Spirit of truth, all right? Now, I know it's Wednesday night, but an amen will do just fine like Sunday and Wednesday. It'd be good to say amen, okay? If you don't believe the scripture, then you're in the wrong place. You need to go find another building. But Jesus was standing there. He said, look, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, why was he going to tell them everything and them not understand it? Right? So he was going to hang on. He said, hang on a minute. How be it? Hang on. That's good Southern English. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. There was one man standing there that had all the truth. He was the truth, all right? But he knew that there was something inside of him that was going to come out on the day of Pentecost, or the burial and resurrection, but on the day of Pentecost, that was going to divide out among a group of people. And then they were going to start understanding what he said, all right? Same way with me and you. You go through your life. You go through your life numb, and talking to somebody the other day, just you're in a fog. You think you're clear, and you think your thinking is clear, and you think everything's clear, and I'm clearly thinking, and I'm clearly doing, and if you ain't born again, you're in a fog. The devil's got a big old fog over your brain, all right? Why? To make you believe something that you shouldn't believe, whatever the world gives you. But now look, but when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, all right, He will guide you into all truth. So then there's your guide that's going to guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, like I said before. He's going to speak through a ministry to a group of people called the bride. And we're going to see in just a minute that even Jesus, I caught this in this, what we're going to read in John 17. We'd read it many, many times before. But remember, Jesus is, he come to die for everybody. All right, just listen to me. He came to die for everybody. John 3:16. Whosoever believeth on him, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, there's a group that's going to cover. Everybody with me? All right, but there's a group that's going to go on, and not just him going to save them. There's a group of people that's going to be him. John 3:16 is not, he didn't say, be like me. He said, I'm going to die to save you if you'll accept me. So while this growth, if there's not something else in the scripture where Jesus is standing there, he's going, I know there's going to be a group that's just going to love me, and I'm going to be their savior, and that's going to be pretty much it. And then you got the foolish virgin, you got the people that are, you know, a cup of water in my name, which really not even included in any of this. But the foolish virgin at least is sanctified by the Holy Ghost, all right? But there's a group of people when Jesus was standing there, we'll read in just a few minutes, where he just totally separated the group. I'll show it to you in just a minute. Because whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. And thank God he gives us revelation. We should be revelation people, all right? And when we get into this statue of a perfect man up to the headstone where we see the headship of the church coming back in the opening of the seals, that's not skim milk. That's not baby food, all right? You're not going to get it pureed. How you say that? Y'all said it three different ways. So I'll say it scrambled up. Mama used to, way before there was Gerber, when we were growing up, she'd take English peas and just mash them up, you know, and feed them to Terrence. That's why he is the way he is. So can't eat anything green. But that's what God's done, though, through all the years. He's pureed, beat up, patted the word, and said, here, baby, you can swallow this. But remember, then when you get to the Apostle Paul, who never knew Jesus, but when the Holy Ghost filled him and he became an apostle, and when he became a prophet to the church age, especially when he saw that group at Ephesus, he knew that there'd be a group that would understand this, and then there'd be a group that would understand this, and there'd be a group that would understand more. Because even his brother Peter and Paul comes together after so many years preaching the same thing. Why? They got the same Holy Ghost. All right. So then he looks at Peter, and Peter looks at John, at Paul, and says, Paul says things hard to be understood. And we wrestle at those things, you know, to their own destruction. But then Peter comes up in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and he said, just what we were talking about, statue of perfect man. He's the one that brings us the statue of perfect man. And then it took a prophet, Brother Branham, to the master builder, to bring it all back together. All right, so that you can now physically see what a pyramid's for, what everything is for, where the headstone is, why there's a gap in there where it says Holy Spirit. We ought to get to that sometime. But listen to this. And I heard it was a voice of great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness. It doesn't say of God. It says of the saints. You have come to a place of righteousness, not self-righteousness, no way, but righteousness through Jesus Christ, through a mature understanding of the message. Now, I don't mean just the message. I mean the Bible. All right. When I say the message, the Bible is included. We don't disclude the Bible and just take the message. All right. If you're going to throw one away, I'll throw the message away. Give me the Bible. Do you know what Brother Bram said? Faith's final resting place lays in the Word of God. All right. But we know that it does tie together. We know that for a fact. And no matter how much we try to think that we're right in saying a creed or joining a church, you're still what you were until you're actually born again. of the Spirit of God, it doesn't change you. What? All this other stuff doesn't change you. The new birth is an experience. That's what changes you. That's what puts you in the body. That's what puts you in this, as we were saying the other day, that's what puts you into the line of adoption. It puts you in the family to where you can even be considered in adoption. All right? Because remember, the devil has got kids, and Jesus Christ never spoke of them people. Well, he did. Called them snakes, vipers, and all that other stuff, all right? Told them they was of their father. He told them what lineage they were, all right? But now he did tell us, though, in the Bible, what lineage we are. Because there's going to be a group of people that's going to be like him. Now, what is him? What is Jesus Christ? That. Right? That's the fullness of Jesus Christ. Headstone, the whole thing. The head and the body is together in this picture right here. But now you got to remember that this part up here, when he died and went to heaven, come back as the Holy Ghost, he came back as the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. Everybody with me? This was not on the church. Now, in part it was, all right? Because they were led by the Holy Ghost, but as we've been reading for many times right here, the Antichrist spirit comes into the church and even into the bride. Even into the bride. Brother Brown said the bride went to Nicaea to try to help and change everything and got caught up in that same system. All right? How that the Antichrist would come into the church, defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. All right, now, hang on with me just for a minute. Let's go to St. John 17. This is where I want you to see something real quick, and then we'll move on. I was looking for, you look at Jesus and you say, well, that's the embodiment of God, right? That's the embodiment. Jesus is everything that we need, all right? He's the whole enchilada, if you want to say that. He's everything. There's no title that he doesn't cover in Christianity, all right? Now, there is no attribute of God that's not right there. Every attribute of God, that is God, that is Jesus Christ in human flesh, God in human flesh, Jesus Christ, standing on the earth speaking to people. Because the only thing we've got, even to the headship, even to the, when the Bible says the headstone was rejected, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But remember, when I say headstone, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the fullness. All right? The fullness of Jesus Christ is him standing on earth in a human body called the Son of Man. Right. All right? Is everybody with me? Now, but what is inside that Son of Man? God, we know that. The Holy Ghost. Everything. That Spirit of truth. The faith of Jesus Christ, Brother Brown says. The virtue of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. The temperance of Jesus Christ. The patience of Jesus Christ. The godliness of Jesus Christ. He says the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ. He said love, which is Jesus Christ. All right, so that's all Jesus Christ. So now, wherever he's standing, he is the embodiment of all that, right? Now, we know we got to be a part of it somewhere, right? We have to be a part of this. This is where I was looking at just a little bit ago at home. But watch, now, here's Jesus. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Nothing else outside of the bride, he's it. And remember, when he's talking, the bride's inside of him. You and me are inside of him when he's speaking this message. All right? And we've got 3.5 years to listen to what he's got to say, and that's pretty much all we got to go on. But Paul can write 80% of the New Testament off of those 3.5 years that Jesus lived on earth, and he wasn't even there. But the Holy Ghost that was in him was there. The Holy Ghost that was in Paul was there. So now, here's St. John 17, verse 8. Now watch, he's standing, and to me, this is the Lord's Prayer to me. We know what the Lord's Prayer is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? But to me, this is the prayer to the bride, separating us from the world, not taking us out of the world, but separating us from the world. Because remember, there was a day when Brother Branham, now he wasn't Jesus Christ, but he was more of Jesus Christ than me and you are right now, I'll promise you that. Everybody say amen. All right? He was a prophet, an end-time prophet that God spoke through him so much to where he said on tape one time, he said, this is not William Branham speaking. This is God speaking. I'm just using his voice. And you know what? You know what it sounded like? It didn't sound like some great thunder. It was Brother Branham's voice. Okay? So this is a man, Brother Branham, has come to the end time to bring us, come at the end time, to bring us that part of Jesus Christ back that had never been here before. That was the fullness. He was in part. I know in part, Paul said, even I prophesy in part. But that which is perfect is come. That which is in part will be done away. Not done away, thrown in the trash, but built on to. Thereby with me. Because even during Paul's time, the headstone was not understood like it is now. Okay? He didn't have the seals. He didn't have the great opening of the word like that. John had it in an image form or in a... He could see what was going on. And he had a small revelation, but he was only told to write. Right? He was only told to write it down, what he saw. All right? Well, now you and I are reading what he saw. But we got to make it live. Remember, we were talking about the white paper and the black ink? Pretty cheap to do that. But when you live it, it's worth 10,000 worlds. So now read with me real quick. This is Jesus. Now he's getting ready to leave. All right? Now, if I'm not mistaken, I did this in a hurry this afternoon. If I'm not mistaken, this prayer is prayed somewhere around the upper room. Somewhere close. I'll verify that and make sure of it. Somewhere around the upper room. Now, he may not be in there with them, but he's praying this prayer somewhere out, maybe Garden of Gethsemane. I don't know. We'll look and see. But he's doing one thing. He's by himself, and he's praying. All right? And then when he talks about them, now watch. When he talks about them, everybody with me. We're going to go slow. You don't have to say amen. Just listen to me. When he talks about them, that's talking about the ones that are there with him, which there was only 11 at the time. Judas, if it was the upper room, Judas had already left. And he was the devil anyway, so he wasn't going to understand this. So it was only to 11 people. So after they died, we're finished. No. He must be speaking to the group. When he says them, he's speaking of them and them. Because watch what he says. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely. They didn't know that at that time. If they'd have known who he was, he wouldn't have died alone. They ran away. When he died on the cross, there was no one there. Not one person hung around and said, hey, that's my Savior. No, because I can prove it to you, because as soon as now, here's Jesus, die, buried, resurrected, lived for 50 days walking among his people, and he's getting ready to ascend, and he says, I'm getting ready to go, and he says, go and receive power on high. You know, we've been reading that scripture. What's the first thing they ask him? Are you going to restore the kingdom? We heard you say that several days ago. You were going to, you know, a month or two ago. We heard you say you was going to destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. And we want to get rid of these Romans. So we really ain't understanding what's going on. But we know you're a pretty tight guy with God. So, you know, are you going to, you know, like wipe these people off? He said, no. He said, go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem and wait, what, to be endued with power from on high. In other words, wait until the Holy Ghost comes inside of you and quickens what I've already said. So this group of people, that's why St. John 17 is to the bride of the first church age. But he's also speaking to the bride of the last church age. Because we're going to culminate this. Now, the bride in the middle, there's no problem with them. But remember, he's standing in the candlestick with his hands out, the Alpha and Omega, right? But he is everything in between. There is bride down through the church ages. But that first church had to be established because it was the foundation of all Christianity is in that first church. And God is through Jesus Christ, is depending on them to start it. But they're not starting it right here. So God is praying a prophecy. Everybody with me? He's praying a prophecy. Listen, he's not a prophet, he's the prophet. Okay? He is the prophet. And he's getting ready to go to Calvary. He's had the Mount Transfiguration. They told him what he was going to do. He told them in the upper room what was going to happen. And this right here, watch. But just watch. Just pretend you're sitting there and you're sitting at the rock on the rock beside of Jesus and he's praying. Nobody but him. But you can listen. Well, we were there because we were in him in Holy Ghost form, you know. So we didn't actually hear it with our ears, but it is part of your attribute. This right here is part of your attribute, all right? So this is part of the statue of perfect man. This is the part that, to me, brings it together and then separates what needs to be separated. Watch. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. All right, so he gave a 3.5-year sermon to a group of people that no one understood except just a little bit. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We don't know what's going on, but we'll just believe what you said. Then Peter jumps up and says, I'll just cut the guy's ear off. So, you know, so they were confused. They have received them, what? The words. What Jesus spoke, the words I spoke. They have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, that had to be a prophecy. No one standing where he was at on that day knew what he was talking about. Everybody with me? I pray for them. I pray not for the world. There's been brides, churches, brides. I'm going to read it in a minute. Brother Brown separated it. God's going to do it right here. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Wait a minute. For they are thine. He's putting it back on the Father. All right? And all mine are thine. Not two people, but in form of Father and Son. And thine are mine, puts it right back in him, and I am glorified in myself. He said, I am glorified in them that I'm talking about. Now, if he's glorified in them, he's already put us in a position of glorification. Everybody with me? Now, let's continue on, and you'll see the rest of this story unfold. And now I am no more in the world. He was standing right there in the world, breathing. But he had moved into another dimension or another place of he was praying this prayer for us. All right? But these are in the world. And I come to thee. In other words, he's leaving. Holy Father, keep through thine own name, which is who, what's the name of the Father? Jesus Christ. Keep through thine own name. Look. Those whom thou hast given me. Now, he's separated from the world. All right? That's not talking about the whole world. That's talking about his people, his kinfolks, bride. Look, that they may be one as we are one. Now, if he has took this and says, all right, thou hast given me these group of people. And this group of people are going to be just like me. He separated a whole group of people. There's some that's not going to reach the statue of perfect man and be just like him. They're going to be saved, according to John 3:16. And he's laid that out, but he's separated a group of people that they, he come from them to they. While I was with them in the world. What? Now listen, when he was, how many people followed him when he was in the world? 12, one of them was the devil. Everybody with me? While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now watch. And now come I to thee. I'm leaving. And these things I speak while I'm in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Come on. He's not talking about himself. We're back to this scripture over here. He's not going to speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. What? Through the bride, show you things to come. That's where we're at now. But watch. Ooh, not that far. That they might have my joy. What is his joy? It's his character. His joy is his character. What is his character? You're looking at it on a board. That's his character. That they might have my joy. That they might have my potentials, my attributes, my virtues. Fulfilled in themselves. Now let's go to St. John 17. Same prayer. He just keeps going. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But now watch. Look, and for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also, now we're back to the they again, they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now listen, that does include sanctification before you're born again, but that also, if you're going to be sanctified through the truth, there's your sanctification we're looking at right now. Right. Amen. Everybody with me? Right there. You've had your baby form sanctification, you quit your smoking, drinking, your cussing, you've quit all that down here. Right. If you're still doing that, you're not up here yet. But if you've done all that and you do the things of God, we make mistakes. We know that for a fact. But we don't do the things we used to do. I hope not. So this is the sanctifying down here of the soul, as we were talking about the other day. Down here, unclean spirit goes out. God can't dwell in an unclean vessel. Holy Ghost comes in, seals you in, and you are born again. But you are not, you're not adopted. You're in the line of adoption, but you're not adopted. You're a newborn baby in Christ, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Preach me the gospel. Tell me something about my salvation. Then we get to where now in John 17, he's saying, hey, now you got to be like me. Come on, now you got to be like me. And that's like him. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified, what? Through the truth. Right. There's no other way. That's why down through the church ages, they couldn't get all the way out, the prophet of God said, because they didn't have all these virtues, because they hung on some to their old tradition or their own idea. Come on. That's why we had to come back to water baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, because the other one was not right. We had to come back to no eternal hell because that other one was not right. We had to come back to no Trinity doctrine because that's what the truth is, a triune being. That's why we had to come back so that we could even start up the statue of perfect man. That's not even in the seals. That's not even the Son of Man ministry. That's receiving the Holy Ghost and being a Christian. This is being him. Remember, you get a checkbook at the bottom of the pyramid. You get a checkbook with his name written on it. And when you write the check, he verifies it. And then he is the one that takes care of it. When we get up to adoption, he hands you the checkbook. There's nothing on it. You write the check and you sign your name. Watch this. That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, so it's got to be the truth. Remember, Jesus was standing speaking this word right here. Look at me. Speaking this word right here. He was the truth. Amen. There was no error in him. There was no thought of a Trinity. There was no thought of all these doctrines that's going around. That was not in him. The truth was in him. Sanctify them through thy truth. Then he said before, thy word is truth. Am I getting somewhere? Well, you see where he's just pulling this thing apart? He said, there's going to be a group that's going to believe on me. They're going to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they're just going to be a baby by their own choice. But there'll be a group of people that's going to be just like me. Because remember, Jesus started as a baby. Standing here, he's 33 years old. Right? He's a grown man. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now watch verse 20. Here's the separation. Look, neither pray I for these alone. So it looks like up here he's took a group of people and he separated them, said, they're going to be just like me. Now he says, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. St. John 3:16. Or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But watch, that they all may be one. When we get to heaven, yes, there's going to be crowns, and we're going to know Brother Brown was a prophet because they know it now. They're going to know that maybe that Brother Dale was a pastor of the church, and he took a group of people to the headstone, and whatever you want to say, and Brother Biscoe and different ones, right? Amen. They're going to get their crown. They're going to get their reward. But listen, same Holy Ghost. Amen. Same Holy Ghost. Amen. Everybody gets the same Holy Ghost if you got the Holy Ghost, amen. All right? So he said that they all may be one. We're not going to get to heaven and go, well, now, bless God, you might have made it, but I got this in my house, and I got transparent walls so you can be able to see through it. I did this right here. Look at where my star was. No. We're all born again. We're all brothers. When we cross the curtain of time, my precious brother, that's all they said. They didn't come up and say, hey, Brother Brown, I preach your message right down the line. No, they were just glad they made it. That they all may be one. Now look, hold on. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they, there's that lay again, that they also may be one in us. So he brings it all back together, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Let me add just a little bit. Sorry, I'm going to add to the word. Through them. That's what he's saying. Because he says right here, and the glory which thou givest me, I give to them. No less. The same. That they may be one, even as we are one. Now, I've covered this many times before. He's standing there saying that we're going to be him. If he said, I and my Father are one, you and I are going to have to be able to say, I and my Father are one. That the glory which thou gavest me, I have give them. That they may be one as we're one. I and them, thou and me. Look, that they may be made perfect. That's the only way you're going to get perfect. That's why we had to have the prophet come to line it all back up, as Elijah did on Mount Carmel. He put all them rocks back where they're supposed to go. He put everything back in order, and then the fire fell. Had to get everything back in order, though, because what? The churches, denominations, 400 prophets had beat the thing up. They kicked the rocks out. They you know, it was a bloody mess because they cut themselves and all the other stuff. What'd they get out of that? Yeah, nothing. But all Elijah had to do was put everything back together, and he said, okay, Lord, you told me to put the water around here, Abraham had three pots or whatever how many pots it was. You told me to dig the ditch, and I've done everything at your word. Then the fire fell, all right, and consumed the sacrifice. I and them, thou and me, that they may be perfect in one, or complete, and that the world may know. Now, how's the world going to know? Through you. That thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Now, watch. Love them as thou love me. He's lying if we missed it somewhere. So he's opened a door. There's that door in John 17. He's opened a door. He said, all right, there's going to be some in the world that's just going to believe on me, and that's okay. But then there's going to be a group that's going to be perfected. They're going to be just like me because they're going to be me. Listen, without the Holy Ghost, you can't be God. But with the Holy Ghost, you have a chance. I said you have a chance because you're still a free moral agent. Everybody good with that? I just thought, man, this is so wonderful that I wanted to find somewhere where Jesus just separated a whole bunch. And he separated it right there in John 17. He let us know what we're supposed to be. He let us know there'd be a group of people that would just believe on him. But they would be a they and a them that would do more than just believe. that they would yield their self and be that same person that walked on the earth called Jesus Christ. Amen. All except the healer. But I'm talking about, where does healing come from? It comes from God, but lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay? You didn't do it, but there's a contact. Right? A cup of water in my name, though. We get to the other side, you know, watch on judgment. How's that person going to get eternal life? Through you. Listen, Paul couldn't receive the Holy Ghost. Cornelius couldn't receive the Holy Ghost until somebody with the Holy Ghost was there to give it to him. The seed life comes through the body. Prophets already told us that. You got to have somebody. You got to have a connection. Well, that connection is who? God. Somebody, a God-filled man, to lead us through. We don't put anything on the man. Y'all know that. You understand what I'm saying? But if all this is, Jesus is saying all this through the world, there, I'm not going to be here, but there's going to be a group of people that's going to show me in the world. That's going to show me, and sometimes we look so ragtag and so horrible and pitiful, but I'm like what Brother Boyd said when Sister was singing the song. How do they do without God? How do you get up in the morning without God? How do you get up, like I was saying, at the funeral? If this is all we got, we're in trouble. We'd be people most miserable. We'd be a miserable group of people if that was the end. No, that was just the beginning. It got Brother Hal back to that place to where the Holy Ghost took him across, and he's living in it right now. He's living in that theophany, waiting to come back here to get his body glorified. Everybody all right? I mean, I love the Lord when he just backs you up and shows you stuff and says, I thought, Lord, there's got to be where you can tell the people you separated them out, because most of the time he didn't. Now, sure, he separated the snakes and the vipers and the year of your father, the devil. That was a group over here. But when he was John 17, he wasn't sure he was dying for them. You understand what I'm talking about, but there's only a group of people going to believe him. He died for all, but only a certain amount of people are going to believe him. But there's going to be a certain amount of people, like he said, there's going to be one just like he was standing there. Him and the Father was one. They're going to stand on this earth and be one just like him. Amen. Impossible? Yes, without him. But with him, I'm going to take what he said. Amen. I'm going to take what he said. What he said 2,000 years ago. Amen. So then, Brother Branham, having the Spirit of God, having the prophetic in his soul, just like Jesus. He wasn't the prophet, he was an a prophet. But he had to come to bring a special message to hone it down so that we can say, was he talking about, or was he talking about the Baptists, or was he talking about the Methodists? No, he said, I'm not going to call you a church anymore. The church gets saved. But the bride gets born again. The bride has his potentials. The bride has an ability to be adopted. Or an ability to, you say, well, what are you talking about? Listen, if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's got to be something inside of you pulling you up. I want more. I'm having a problem right here. Help me right here, Lord. But when that problem's over, take me up a little higher. Take me up a little higher. Let me understand what Brother Dale's saying. Let me understand what these brothers are saying. That's right. Listen, he'll have to lead you and guide you if truth is told to you. Amen. He promised he would. So now he's standing in spirit form. He's standing in a prophet. He said, now I'm going to call you bride. I'm going back to St. John 17, and I'm going to tell you there's going to be a church. Amen. There's going to be a bride that you'll understand. Because remember, he's getting ready. That's at the first seal. Right at the first of it. He says, look, broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. And then he kind of mumbles around. He goes, I mean, you people, I'm going to call you bride. All right. So now let's go back and listen. This is what he's this is what he was saying. Broken to whom? Not to Christ, but to the bride. These seals will not be broke to the church. Church nominal. And probably 90% of the people in the message. But I'm going to call you bride. I'm going to say he's talking to me. Giving me a chance to be able to understand. Not just that God sent a prophet. So never since Jesus Christ was on the earth in St. John 17, telling us what we're supposed to be, telling us there'd be a group of people that would not get it all. There'd be a group of people he would save because they just said, Lord, save my soul. You died for me on the cross at Calvary and I give myself to you. Well, praise God. They'll be in heaven. All right. But there's a group, though, that's got Satan's answer. That's a formidable. Who was the most formidable opponent on earth? The one I was just talking about. So now if he was the most formidable opponent that Satan had 2,000 years ago, Jesus standing on earth in flesh, and he's praying for me and you to be just like him. So the most formidable opponent on earth now is his bride. Because he's not here. He's depending on us. Listen, all the other church ages are dependent on us. Because see, let me tell you this. When Martin Luther, when he passed away, all right, never how many hundreds of years ago, when he passed away, he was a bride, church age messenger with a message. People believed that message, were called out of the age, right? But remember, Brother Bram said, not all the way out, because they kept a little bit of a few doctrines. They kept a few stones of stumbling. That's right. Exactly. All right? Everybody, is that okay? False doctrine, but stumbling stones. But when he went across the curtain of time, God didn't start throwing stuff at him. He made it. He said, here's your place. This is your place. You are a church age messenger, and these are your people. Because what happened to Brother Branham when he went across the curtain of time? He said, oh, these are all Branhams? He said, no, they're your converts. Millions. They're your converts. They're not Paul's. They're not Irenaeus. They're not Martin, Luther, Wesley. They're yours. When Luther went across the curtain of time, he had to stay there because he didn't get to come back across the curtain. He stayed over there, but there was a group of people that I'm sure hugged his neck and said, thank you for getting us out of that Catholic church. I believe your message for the day. Now, I don't know where these other ones are, but I know this is a safe place. I know. Now, see, they didn't, none of them know it was a sixth dimension. They just knew it was a place they went to. We know. That's why we can answer any question almost that's asked. Brother Branham has just covered it all, and we can go back and say, no, that's the sixth dimension. No, they're not in the arms of Jesus. No, they're not walking on streets of gold. Come on, somebody. No, mama's not sitting at the feet of Jesus right now. She's in a sixth dimension, an eternal place, and they're sitting there. I don't know. They can sit on a rock, whatever they want to sit on. Listen, they can stand for 50,000 years. It ain't going to matter. But they're in a place waiting on a pull to get them out. Because remember, they told Brother Branham, said, look, we're not complete here. We don't eat and we don't drink. But we're coming back to earth with you. Wow. Guess who's gonna be the one that opens the door? Not a church. Not many brides. One bride. Final voice, not voices, final voice to the final age under her messenger is the bride in the end time. The St. John 17 bride that he stood and in his infinite mind, God infinite mind, he saw us tonight reading that same scripture. And knew somebody was going to come to that perfection that Jesus prayed we'd all come to. Now listen, Jesus prayed. That's a pretty good prayer. I'll take a prayer from Brother Dale any day. But now, Jesus trumps him. Okay? I'll take a prayer from Jesus. All right? So he stood there and told me what I was going to be. All right? Then he sent somebody like Brother Dale to remind me of what was said. All right? Remember, Jesus didn't come to bring you your inheritance. He came to get you back to your inheritance. All right? Because your inheritance never was lost in eternity. You can't lose something in eternity. It got lost when we got put in a pawn shop down here. Like I said Sunday, this was all withheld. He had to hold the book. He couldn't send us down. And that's why I don't agree with the people that think that we come here with eternal life. No way. I want a hand. No, not that kind of hand. I want a hand. If you knew, and I'm serious, you knew you were lost. If you knew, when you come through your life, you knew you were lost. Well, praise God, the rest of y'all must be saved. From the foundation of the world, we are. But you realized you were lost. Every one of us in this building. Some of you ought to realize you're still lost. Well, I didn't say that. But if we were lost, there's no way we could have eternal life inside of our soul. God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. Remember, there's only God or Satan. That's why I want to know where that seed was. If we had some kind of seed in us, where was it? It cannot be in your soul, and that's where it's supposed to be. Because when you get born again, it's in your soul. Right. Not in your spirit, not in your body. Right. Let's just realize we were all lost. We needed Jesus Christ to come from glory through some way of salvation. I'm saying for us to believe that way of salvation. To believe that he died for us. And then the Holy Ghost comes in us as on the day of Pentecost. Listen, why on the day of Pentecost? Why didn't Peter just stand up and say, well, we had it to begin with? No, Peter was the first one to stood up and said, this is that. That was told by the prophet Joel that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He realized he was lost. If ever a person realized they was lost, it was Peter. And then he realized he got saved. Got the Holy Ghost, got the new birth, all right? So let's just put that away. But those names could not be released. Me and Susan was talking about it the other day. Listen, there's no way we were individuals before you came on earth. Only in the mind of God. And it was a gene pool of God. Sure, he knows exactly. But you and I, even as fathers, I didn't know I only had two kids inside of me. But if I was a heavenly father that knew from beginning to end, I'd know exactly how many kids I had. And when they'd come, how they'd come, what night or day they'd get born again, and I would give them eternal life and bring them into the family. To me, that's very simple. All right? Not that we always was, and we just realized Brother Brown was a prophet. Listen, Satan knew Brother Brown was a prophet. Why did he badger him all the time? Why did he fight them demons all the time like he said he did? Go back to a motel room and them demons bother him that he cast out I was thinking about that, folks. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes my dad gets in a state of torment, and I think, man, devil, you got to leave. Think of all the demons, though, that my dad's had to do to cast out of us. Maybe not by laying on hands, but by the word of God. That's the only way the real devil's going to get cast out is by the word of God. Not by shaking, shouting, speaking in tongues, and all that other. It's preaching the word of God. And if somebody preaches the word of God, it actually does. It cast them out of me because I had a lot of different things going on in my life. I don't know about y'all. Am I just the only one? Sometimes you look at me like, are you really that bad? Yes, I was really that bad. So were you. But I thought, devil, I was talking about was yesterday when we put him in that new facility. I said, you devil. I said, you need to get away. But if Brother Branham had that problem, remember he said it would keep him up at night. Them demons would come into the motel room and torment him for casting him up. You cast a demon out, where'd it go? It went in them swine. It went somewhere. Brother Branham said, you better keep your eyes closed. He said, that demon will come into you. He said, keep your eyes closed. Be reverent. Don't move around. He said, that demon of epilepsy, number one, he always talked about epilepsy, was a real horrible demon. And you know what, Brother Brown? I mean, Jesus had to deal with it too. Remember, he come to them people and they said, well, your 12 can't cast them out. He was rolling around and frothing at the mouth and falling in the fire and all that. That's an epileptic fit. Jesus said, only by prayer and fasting can we cast these out. There are some demons that are rough, and there are some demons that are not too rough. That's just the way I see it. So let's pray for our pastor. Let's pray for all these preachers. You don't know how many times, you know, you get up here and you speak, and then you get home and you got a pounding headache. Or something happens, or you just have a horrible Monday or something, you know. Well, it could be that there was a demon had to leave somebody by the preaching of the word of God. And that demon was trying to find a place to go. So he just come back and torments you. And I'm talking about all of you. Well, you think about it. Listen, there's more going on in the spiritual world than there are in the natural world. It's real busy in these other dimensions. Come on. It's real busy. We think we're busy. They're busy 24/7. They don't get tired. They just keep pounding and pounding and pounding. All right? So pray. Just pray for you. Pray for your preachers and elders, deacons. All pray for everybody that has a position in church, because the devil hates us. He hates us. He don't even like us a little bit. He hates us. We hate him too. But there's got to come one. There's got to come a real bride. In other words, St. John 17 has got to come into being in a bride in the end time and be Jesus Christ, because the headstone is him complete. All right? That's what we're heading toward. And see, look, as it gets more narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow to a point. Listen. In just listen to me for a minute. In all of Christianity, it started on the day of Pentecost, first church age, right? A lot of people. Less, less, less. You say, oh, now we got 7 billion people. Oh, well, 8 billion now, I think it went to. 8 billion people on the earth. But how many real bride? How many real bride? Not just churches, not foolish virgin, bride. Born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, bride. In the world right now. I don't think there's as many as it was when there wasn't many people on earth. But there's got to come one. Because Brother Brown always talked about honing. He always talked about, you know, the razor's edge, the cutting away and all the different things. Like we were talking about the two-edged sword that divided the soul and the spirit and the body. So in other words, there must come one. Who's this one? This one is them. The them of John 17 is this one right here. Everybody with me? See, I don't want to be exclusive, but God made us exclusive. Because he's going to have somebody that's going to be like him. Don't matter if it's 2 or 3 or 4 or 1. He's going to have somebody like him. He made a way for it, and he even prayed for us to get there. Why are we not there yet? Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God. Now, not somebody, not a preacher. They can preach real good. But the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. So there's soul, spirit, and where's your joint and marrow? In your body, your flesh, right? So it's dividing those three up, Paul says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we saw that through Brother Ram's ministry, and we've seen it several times here. All right? So now the soul of man is that Genesis 1:26 man. You got to think back what we were talking about this past weekend. That is what I'm talking about. That's that Genesis 1:26 man is that part of the them, bride. That's not foolish virgin. That's not even Isaiah, Jeremiah, Abraham. It's only the redeemed, the born again redeemed. All right? So you take that group of people and you put them in a place and you tell them, say, look, you now have the divine power of God. inside of your soul. You are now a Christian. You are now in line of adoption. You're not adopted, but you're in line. Because look, according as his divine power, and who is divine? There's only one divine. There ain't a divine person on earth. Except the bride. You forgot her. We can't forget the bride. His divine power, who? Jesus Christ, hath given unto us. Oh, so that divine power has been given to us. Hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life of godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Brother Brown said that by these promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. All right? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we don't have to go to the judgment. The lust of the world by the new birth is not in your soul. We could say something about that, but I'm not going to say anything right now. All right? So the word divine means theos, which is the Godhead of Christ, spoken of the only and true God. Whatever can in any respect be likened to God. Now, Jesus didn't liken us to God. He said if we'll do what he says, we'd be God. Right? That we may be one, as I and the Father are one, they be one. All right? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, you receive the divine nature of God at the new birth. All right? But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Daddy, Daddy, or Father, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit. Now look, that we are the children of God. There's come a time and place where you got to settle the settlement. I am a child of God or I'm not. All right? Because listen, once you see that you're a child of God, you get these promises of joint heirship with Christ. Because that's what Christ was doing in St. John 17. He said, look, whatever I got, give it to them. But they will be a group that will be sanctified separate from that, that will get me in its fullness. Is everybody with me? If so be that we suffer with him, so it's not going to be easy or even pretty. Had a girl today at work, Kelly. Her hair's getting down about this long. She said, I just can't stand it when my hair touches my shoulders. I said, well, Jim can stand when her hair touches the back of her leg at the bottom. And I said, Sister Rachel, y'all know her. That's the little Rose girl that ships all that stuff. Hers touches the ground. She's never cut her hair. What? I know y'all believe different. No, I said, we believe the Bible. I said, we don't worry about our sisters. Don't worry about where their hair touches. It was bothering her, you know, because it was on her shoulder. It'd never been that long before. So anyway, but see, that's the thought process of the world. Our thought process is, sisters, I know it's tough to do your hair. Not when it gets thin and when June was having her surgery and all, I kind of washed her hair over the sink and stuff, you know, and I thought, man, it's like a chia pet, you know, in your hand. But and then, like Brother Donnie Reagan, you know, if somebody out in the world, you know, somebody comes, says, oh, man, I got one of my wife's hairs, and they go, oh, well. No, we're like, nope, I got one of my wife's hairs stuck in my shirt. Yeah. It's all for what the Bible says. All right? I said, Kelly, the Bible tells you not to do it. I said, it's not me saying or our religion saying it. The Bible tells you not to do that. Of course, all them other women in the post office, they head back toward the back. And Kelly, bless her heart, she's about a two-thirds Connecticut Yankee. She just stood there and took it. The rest of them, buddy, they just go back and sit down in the kitchen back there in the back. Wait till I get done, then they come out. Why? Because it's condemnation. You sisters, if somebody preaches and says, it's abomination for you to cut your hair. Now, if you've never cut your hair, you're like, you ain't talking to me. And there's no condemnation. But if you've trimmed your hair, you don't need a lot of discernment when you start talking about hair, and the women go, They go off in that little safe place. Praise the Lord anyhow. You know, you just tell the people, say, look, I can see in the Bible where we're not supposed to. Show me where it says you can. If you're, and she's not even a Bible believer. I mean, she probably never even opened a book. They were Catholics. She said Catholic by name, so they were just name Catholics. So she probably didn't even know where the Bible said that you weren't supposed to do that. So, but still, just say, hey, we're doing what the Bible says. I don't know whether you think we've got this awkward religion or this, we're over here on this. No, Bible tells you not to do it, and it's an abomination for you to do it. Tell me where somebody told you you could do it. It had to be your denomination because it wasn't God. All right? And then they start on the dress thing, you know. Well, that's in the Old Testament. Well, why you got the Ten Commandments in your yard? That's Old Testament. So, anyway, you got the devil's answer. Not calling him a devil, but there's one inside of them if they're not born again. You know, that's really the devil speaking. When you get somebody upset and they're not a Christian, that's not them. Because any other time, normally you're sitting there drinking coffee and talking to them, but you bump that soul and give them a little condemnation, the burner comes on. It's not them, because it's the same person that was sitting there laughing and talking to you about football or hunting or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden you get on religion, and when they ain't got nowhere to go, it really is bad. Do like me, chase them. I'm going back to the kitchen next time we talk about that. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisy, and envies, and evil speaking. Look, as a newborn babe. So we should be getting rid of that stuff right there at the new birth. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. A baby depends on you to feed it. Right? All right? But now, and that is good. But you can't stay that way because you got to come to a place where you study for yourself. You got to come to a place where you eat food when you need food. Am I making any sense? You just got to look at kids. Kids growing up, they're just, like I said, lay a baby right here, the baby will fall straight off in the floor. But you put a cat here and a little baby cat will never do that. It'll look down there, but it'll never get off. But that baby will just go fall. Why? They're a newborn baby. They've not developed. Even though they got a soul, they're not developed. Well, listen, at the new birth, you get the soul of God, right? You're not fully developed, though. And God knows that. That's why he came and prayed that prayer. He said, hold them, Lord. Keep them. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them in the world, but keep the world away from them. In other words, coming inside. So God knows we're all going to start off as babies. And listen, he's your biggest cheerleader. He's your biggest cheerleader. Come on, come on, come on. And not the devil. As newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Now listen, babies drink milk and they grow. Right? But now, 16-year-old kid just drinking milk, I don't know how that happened. Now, you know what, though? That kid desires something else. I didn't desire them peas mashed up all the time. Oh, still don't. Boy, said, still don't. If so be, look, that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So you got to taste it. You got to participate. All right? Some of y'all ought to try that sometime. To whom coming as unto a look, a living stone, disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That's me and you. All right? Where I think Pentecost failed, Brother Bram said, look, God gives him a checkbook that'll last him all through his life. Talking about, look, when a man is born again of the Spirit of God, God gives him a checkbook that'll last him through his life's journey. And at the bottom of each check has got Jesus' name on it. And you just fill it out for whatever redemptive blessing that you need. It's yours already paid for. Now, surely you're not afraid that it won't be cashed. If you're afraid, you're just going to hold the book in your pocket. In other words, you're not going to claim your healing. You're not going to claim your salvation. All right? So that's in the soul. So now we're coming out to the spirit realm, which is 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And besides this, what? In other words, besides all this we've been talking about. about the new birth, newborn babes in Christ, and all that. Besides that, look, giving all diligence. You know, a little baby, you take a little baby to a all-you-can-eat buffet, the best in the world. Let's just say it's the best place to eat. Food looks super. I mean, they got it laid out. You can smell it right now. I'm hungry. But a baby just lays there and go, bottle, right? That baby don't come in the door going, wow, all this food. You wait till he gets about, I'm not going to say Sarah. But you, wait a minute, you let him get Luke's age. Thank you for being here, Luke. He gets Luke's or Jonas's age, and they're like, buffet? Wow. Can I have some of that and some of that and some of that and some of that and some of that? That's like us. When you're a newborn babe, you have a narrow sense of what God is. Now, am I telling the truth? When you get born again, listen, your whole nature part of you is contrary to God. It is so contrary to God, it's not of God until God comes inside. But remember, he goes through that developmental stage where he takes your stony heart out and he gives you a new heart and he softens you up a little bit. Then when he gives you the Holy Ghost, you're still sitting there going, what's next? What's next? Feed me, Lord. All right? That's why coming to church is important. You can believe it or not, but you can't get fed at home. You got to come to the buffet. All right? And you will if you're born again. I like what Brother Darrell Ward said. He said, you don't have to preach to Christians to get them to come to church. Because I want the buffet. I come looking for something good to eat. Ribs. Steak. I mean, Deer Lodge. Danny, Deer Lodge, Brother Danny. Right? I mean a steak that hangs over the plate. Like Murphy's. Now, we're getting big time right there, buddy. That's a capstone. There's two good things in Oklahoma. Murphy's and Brother Claude and his church. And that's about it. But if you desire the sincere milk of the word, listen, if you desire that, it's going to take you to the buffet. It's going to take you. Now, whether you eat it or not, you can go stand at that buffet and say, man, this looks good. Remember, though, you've got the check to pay for it. It's already signed. Don't matter how much that buffet costs. Jesus signed it. Go get it. Right? Everybody with me? But besides this, giving all diligence. In other words, like I said, as a baby lays in the crib or you let it run around on the floor. But when Jonas or Luke goes in that buffet line and Zach Black, if he was here, I can imagine him going through and Michael. Brother Michael, in a buffet line. But when he was a little baby, it didn't bother him. But it was still there. Right? The buffet was still there. It was for the people that had become of age more, and before that. But here they come, and they're going to be diligent about getting in line. You better get out of the way. Right? So that's the way we should be as Christians. We should, hey, get out of my way. Remember my old football coach? He said, either lead, follow, get out of the way. Don't stand in somebody's way. If you can't go yourself and lead, get out of the way and let somebody go through there. Get in that buffet line. This word of God should mean more now to you than ever before. Amen. If it doesn't, something's wrong. You're right. Malnourished. If you're malnourished because of the word of God, it's your fault. You know where to get it. And besides this, besides new birth, besides starting coming to church and reading your Bible and praying to the Lord and the Lord answering your prayer and having faith that God will do things, you got to add some things to it, which would be virtue, knowledge, temperance. And that emanates out of your soul. It's already in there. It just emanates out of your soul into your spirit because your spirit realm didn't get the new birth. No. I wished. But it didn't. There's the playground. There's the battle. Listen, the battle's not in your flesh. Excuse me. The battle's not in your flesh. The battle's in your mind, your reasoning, your conscious, affection, imagination, that's where the realm that God is trying to get these virtues put in. As Brother Ram says, the Lord goes into your door, you allowed him into your room, but you got doors that are closed. And he won't go in them because he's timid. He's a gentleman. You've got to open the door, and he calls them all out, pride, selfishness, all the different things that's contrary to this. All right. But what does he want to give you? Who wants to give you these? All right. And to knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children. All right. We get in the spirit realm. We start up the statue of perfect man. We will not be children if you're climbing up that statue of perfect man. You're not a child anymore. All right. Look, tossed to and fro. And carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive preachers. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, look, in all things. There's a promise, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief, what? A chief cornerstone. Down here, cornerstone. Not headstone, cornerstone. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be what? Confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, which he tells where it's at. But it's made a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Right. Even to them which stumble, look, at the word. Why being disobedient? I got a quote down here, probably not going to get to it, where Brother Brown says, bottom line is obedience. Obedience to the word of God. I may try to get to that for we. We'll get ready. We'll get done here in just a second. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now listen, there's a group of people that did that. First church age, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, part of seventh. They're gone already. They can't manifest this anymore. They were a chosen generation. But you and I are this part now. We're alive. We're lively stones, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls, and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed. So you can't grow in God with corruptible seed, because listen, God hates that stuff. Did he not say he hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans? And he said he hated it. He didn't say he didn't like it. He hated it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hebrews 5 verse 10 says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have so many things to say and hard to be uttered. Look, seeing you are dull of hearing. This is Paul talking to a congregation. And you think we're rough every once in a while. You ain't listening. You ain't getting this. You're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Which is, you must be born again. Right. And all that other that goes with it. And I know for a fact, there's no way that every church member is going to be born again. I hate that. But you have to go back to what Brother Bram said. He said, in every congregation, that's why I don't like small congregations, and I'm in them. he says there's believers and unbelievers, right? In every congregation. So if there's three people there. But if they're there. But listen. If you're conscious of that. If this is bothering you to come to church and listen to a message. You need to get born again. Or need to grow. You need to grow a little more. Say, God, I need to grow a little more. I still say, God, I need to. Listen, we're going to actually ask God to grow a little more the day of the change. Right? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, we got to back up and talk about the new birth because we got new people come in. Then we going up a little higher, then we have to back up a little bit because we got new people come in. Or somebody that's really hadn't been seeking it, now seeking it. But you have to discern that through prayer and just watching people. You can really see that. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk, look, is unskillful. Listen, you get the checkbook with Jesus' name on it when you're born again. But you are still unskillful. Or he would give it to you blank and you put your name on it. So he makes sure that you don't make a real bad boo-boo. He gives you a check and puts his name on it. So he can back it up. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses. Where are your senses? You only got one in the middle. You're either born again or not. You got five in the second realm. Senses. And you got five out here. Having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You have discernment to do that. Ephesians 4, 1 verse 4 said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Brother Dale broke this down years and years ago, and I still got it in my Bible. Because look, at this point of the journey, you're not holy. And you're not without blame. But he says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what God saw before the foundation of the world. Then we had to come down here by predetermining or predestined us by seeing by foreknowledge that there would be a group of people that would come to adoption by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, Brother Brown, right here, I guess we'll stop right here again. Musicians, come on. Now, what is adoption? Now, let me get this now. I don't know whether I won't have time to get through this. And he keeps going. He says, look, here's another time. Now, you watch Brother Branham. Brother Branham is a restorer of the word. But being a restorer of the word, he has to use the sword to divide. I just read you. Ephesians 4. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, look, Brother Branham says, look, your adoption is not your birth. All right? So he divided it right there. Your adoption is not your birth. You can be born again and not come to adoption, but you can't come to adoption without being born again. All right? You're in line. You have the full potential to do it, but you can stop it. If you don't think you're your worst enemy, then blame me. Thank you. But you're your worst enemy. I'm my worst enemy. Amen? But your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your placing. Now, we'll start talking. I've been trying to get this for 2 weeks, but keep going back, adding a piece. I want you to see what your placing is, because your adoption is your placing. What does he mean by placing? Like chess pieces on a chessboard? We'll talk about that. But we were predestinated to adoption. All right, look. Now, look. When you were born again, St. John 1:17. I believe when you are born again of the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. All right, we're born again. But we were predestinated. Now, what were we predestinated to? Adoption. No other group, no other age could come to adoption except this age. Let me read this real quick. Everybody stand. Now, we went through 2 Peter 1. He's talking about the divine nature of God, receiving the new birth. Is everybody with me? Yep. Receiving the new birth. And then, besides this, right, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Now, look. Now we're at this part. This is the adoption part. Look. For if these things be in you, they weren't in you to begin with. Hello. They weren't in you to begin with. For if these things be in you and abound, They make you. They'll make you do things you really didn't do when you were a little kid. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Christians. There's no one worse than a blind Christian. But he that lacketh these things is blind. But where are you blind at? You're blind by letting your memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination take over that faith that's supposed to be building up inside of you that says, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Look, and cannot see afar off. Cut your revelation right off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. He said that three times in this verse 1 through about 12. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. There's your placing. We'll talk about it. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. What a promise. You shall never fall. For as so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, what? Through the gospel, a door open unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter says, I'm going to preach this and 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 preach this. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present day truth. This present day truth. This today. This present day truth. You love the Lord? Amen. Let's sing a song. And mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will at the table spread for me. Brother Brown said, and hear ye him, 1960. That's what I was trying to get to. Talking about the checkbook. He said, the church has got to come to a place where it's disciplined. That's all the placing. Days, know your place. Stay in your place. God's on that work right now. Discipline.
Surely goodness.
So we'll read that next time we preach.
Follow me all the days. All the days of my life.
And
surely goodness
and mercy shall follow me. If you have a need.
All the days. All the days of my life.
Listen, we got long days. A lot of us are old. Been in this message a long time. It's about time for us to get ahead of something. Get to that headstone. Bring that headstone here. It'll only come through you and me. Only through me and you.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life.
Amen. You love the Lord? He's good to us. He's good. He's good to give us good. We have bad days, I know, as human beings, but as a Christian, you should have a good day all the time.
Amen.
Somewhere in a trial, there's got to be something that you realize, hey, this is for me. I need this for some reason. Because I was telling somebody, Sister Audrey, the other day, I said, God promised us he'd never put on us more than we can stand. Is that Bible? He said, promised us. He said, I'll never put more on you than you can stand. We just don't know how much we can stand. until he does put us to a through a trial and we say, oh, I can stand that. Or if I can't stand it, I better get some praying and some reading and some studying and some counseling and some talking and talk to the master and ask him, hey, where am I missing it at? That's what I, listen, all those years Brother Dale sat, and I sat right there where Donnie's sitting. I'm like, Lord, put the pieces together for me. Put the pieces together for me. I'm selfish. You can get it if you want to. Put the pieces together for me. I was telling you, Brother Harris was preaching here one night, and I was sitting there, and I had a bunch of questions on predestination. And he wasn't even preaching on predestination, but he hit a little something about adoption or predestined or something. He said that word, and I never had it happen before, but I just looked up, and right here, a book opened. It like it folded open, and there was the whole foreknowledge, predetermined, predestination, all down the line. It just come to me and written right straight out and put it every bit right straight together. I never had that happen before, but when you do have that happen, you know what that is? That's that portal that opens up. Remember Brother Dale told us, he said, when you get a revelation or you get something from God, my children, he said, because God's real close. God's real close right then. If he's give you a revelation, you sure know it ain't the devil. So God's more prevalent right then than just say, hey, Father, why are you in the house? Why are you in the house? Why are you here? I need something. I need my kids saved. There's more going on in that dimension than this dimension. But sometimes that dimension kind of breaks loose a little bit and you get a revelation. Or God gives you something and you go, man. Like St. John 17, I was saying today, I thought, now, Lord, there's something in here where you pulled it apart and then you put it back together. He said, you like St. John 17, right? So I just flipped right to it and started reading it. And I said, well, there's what Jesus stood there praying. You know, I mean, this is like Daddy said, you know, he wasn't talking to the secretary. He's talking to the Father about me and you. So now I can put my faith in that. That it didn't get through a secretary that had two or three different meanings to it. And that was his words praying for us. His words, knowing that a group of people would come to adoption, that would come and would need that prayer. That's why he prayed it. He knew we'd need it. He said, save them, Father. Keep them in the world, but keep them sanctified. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much for this night. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us. We hope we've said something, Lord, that'd be pleasing to the people. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the ones that are not here, that are sick, Lord, different things. Lord, I pray that you'd touch them. Father, just be with us, Lord, in continuation of this week, Lord. Just bless this day, Lord, not just a 24-hour day, but this is, as John said, the day of the Lord. This is the day of us getting together and going home, Lord. Learning our position and knowing what to do with that position, Lord, and staying in it, Lord. I pray that you just be with us now as we leave. Lord, just be with us on the highways. Be with the brothers and the sister that's coming this weekend, Lord, and all the ones that are coming to Bible study and different things, Lord. The prayer meeting, Father, just be with Brother George Quinn as he's coming in like middle of next week, but will be with us the next weekend, Lord. I pray that you just bless him now. Be with us as we go in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.